Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
A new investigation finds that a chemical plant owned by one of the Koch brothers has dodged efforts to control air pollution. The plant in Port Arthur, Texas, emits sulfur dioxide with its rotten egg smell. But when the wind blew the pollution toward air quality monitors, the company cut production of toxic fumes. The nonprofit news organization Grist reported the story using court records and pollution data. Navina Sadasivam is senior staff writer at Grist who broke the story, and she joins us now. Hi, Navina.
Hi, Scott. Thanks for having me.
So can you tell us about the Oxbow Company and this plant? What does it do? What does it make?
Sure, yeah. Oxbow Calcining owns a number of petroleum coke facilities across the country. And what this facility does is it essentially takes petroleum coke, which is this bottom of the barrel remainder from refining crude oil, and it processes it into a fuel-grade coke that can then be used by the steel and aluminum industry and in power plants and cement factories.
And in the process, what pollution is created?
It emits a lot of sulfur dioxide. There are some other pollutants as well that are mixed in there, but the main one is sulfur dioxide. Oxbow, this particular plant in West Port Arthur, emits 12,000 tons of sulfur dioxide a year. To put that into context, that is double the amount of sulfur dioxide from the average coal plant.
What is the impact on the communities surrounding the plant? One town, West Port Arthur, is 90% black.
That's right. So the Oxbow facility is in this industrial corridor that's very close to West Port Arthur. You know, there are people living, there's a school, there's a middle school that's about 2 miles from this facility. And West Port Arthur, its asthma rate is 70% higher than the national average. And the county in which this facility sits, Jefferson County, is 15% more likely to develop cancer and 40% more likely to die from that ailment. So it has a real impact on public health. And, you know, I visited with many residents in West Port Arthur, and they described, you know, one person described sort of waking up in the middle of the night, gasping for air. A number of people use oxygen tanks to breathe. And so this has a real effect on people's health.
Navina, a lot of Americans have heard about the Koch brothers. As far as this company, which brother are we talking about?
So that's right. So we're talking about Bill Koch here, William Koch. He owns Oxbow Calcining and is one of three living Koch brothers, but he is not involved in Koch Industries. And typically, when we talk about the Koch brothers, we're referring to two other brothers, but Oxbow Calcining is owned by William Koch.
So from your reporting, you go into these air monitoring devices that were put into this facility, but when the pollution went above the federally approved levels, when it went high, what did Oxbow do, according to your reporting, to keep these numbers down?
Yeah, we found that they were often turning off certain kilns that were operational to reduce their emissions. So the air quality monitor was set up about a half a mile away from the plant, specifically to keep an eye on these emissions. And so what we found was every time that the wind would blow sort of in the direction of the air monitor and carry their emissions to the monitor, they would then begin changing operations within the facility. So turn off some of the kilns so the facility is operating on a quarter or half of its capacity, in some cases forcing wind or air through some of the kilns to sort of change its operations and have the sulfur dioxide emissions come out at a higher velocity and be carried further away so that it's not hitting the monitor. So these kinds of operational changes that would essentially reduce the amount of sulfur dioxide that the monitor would pick up.
And this action by the plant, is it illegal?
Yeah, the experts that we spoke to did say that they've thought, you know, the actions that the company was taking were in violation of the Clean Air Act. Specifically, there are provisions of the Clean Air Act that state that you're not allowed to tamper with monitors or in any way make monitors incapable of recording a comprehensive and untampered view of the facility's emissions. And so we spoke to a former EPA enforcement lawyer who said that, you know, there was clearly a criminal violation of the Clean Air Act, and he encouraged the Justice Department to pursue criminal action.
So how did these employees get access to the data on the wind, data on the emissions in the first place?
Yeah, that's a really interesting story. So, you know, when the air quality monitor was set up in late 2016, the state was only posting 1-hour averages of the monitor's recordings on its website. So you and I, if we were to go to the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality's website, mm-hmm. we would see these 1-hour averages. But what the state did do was it gave Oxbow exclusive access to the monitor such that it could pull 5-minute data. So they were getting this really granular data of sulfur dioxide emissions that the monitor was recording. You know, the state also told me that no other company in the entire state of Texas has this kind of access. So Oxbow continues to be the only company. And at the same time, they were also pulling wind direction and wind speed data from, various meteorological websites.
And the Oxbow company, in response, said that, you know, your reporting's data is flawed and findings are unsupportable. Tell us a little bit more about the company's response.
Yes, the company's response was quite brief. You know, they have been in litigation with a contracting company over some of these very same allegations. A lot of the data that we use in the story is from that lawsuit. And so what they said is that they're not willing to relitigate the story with us. So we received a very brief denial from them, but they did not answer any of our specific questions.
The company told you it doesn't want to relitigate what it's already said in court. But in its court filings, what did the company say about that? Was it that it was experimenting with different ways to run the plant?
That's right. So in court documents, the company claims these were pre-scheduled experiments that the facility was running in an attempt to try to stay within the bounds of environmental laws. So their claim is, you know, we're trying to find ideal conditions to run our facility in a way that we don't break environmental rules.
Are there parties critical of that explanation?
That's right. One critique of that is, you know, if the way that they're complying with air quality rules is by changing operations depending on climatic conditions, then that runs afoul of a whole nother set of environmental rules, right? And so that doesn't quite line up.
Finally, Navina, is there any evidence this activity, this alleged gaming of the air monitors, happens anywhere else?
That's a great question. And there is evidence to suggest that this company may be engaging in sort of similar behavior in its Louisiana and Oklahoma plant. In Oklahoma, we know that the state initially granted that 5-minute data to the plant and then took away access because there was an anonymous complaint filed saying that the company was engaging in the sort of behavior to evade the monitor, and the state took away that access and never restored it. So there's some evidence that perhaps something like this is also going on in Louisiana and Oklahoma. We definitely do not know for sure. More broadly, though, in terms of what might be happening nationwide, I think there have been some studies done to sort of indicate that when monitors are on and active, companies are less likely to pollute. So some of these monitors aren't continuous monitors that run 24/7. They operate maybe every 3 days or every 7 days, and they're on a schedule, and the schedule is public. So everyone knows when these monitors are turned on. And so there's some evidence that other industrial facilities may also be gaming monitors.
We've been talking to Navina Sadasivam, reporter for Grist. Navina, thank you very much.
Thank you for having me, Scott.